Sermon text comes from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, found on page 1146 in the Pew Bible. Let us listen to God's Spirit as He speaks through the Scriptures. Amen? Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Amen. You may be seated. So now, our Father, we have heard Your word, and we want to worship You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the praise of Your glorious grace, for You are worthy. And I pray, Lord, that in this time You would teach us, and that we would learn that You are blessed and You deserve the blessing, but You share the blessing and You are the blessed blesser. So teach us now, we pray, and we will give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The sermon title is The Blessed Blesser, for our God is a God of blessing. And the Bible is God's book of blessing. And so two times in Genesis 1, page 1 in the Bible, it talks about God blessing that which He created. He blessed the sea animals on the fifth day and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the seas. And then on the sixth day, after He created man in His own image, in His own likeness, male and female, He created them. He said, He blessed them, said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So our God is a God of blessing, and the Bible is the book of blessing. Amen. God also set aside a people for Himself whom He would bless. He blessed Abraham, and He called Abraham, and He says that all the nations will be what? Blessed by you. God blessed a 75-year-old man and said, you know what? You are going to be the father of many nations. Here is a man that had no heir, no children, no children. There's no children here today, are there? Same kind of thing. But I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Now, it took Abraham a long time to really believe that God was going to do what he did. But eventually he came along. Eventually his faith grew strong. He didn't waver in unbelief, Romans 4 tells us. He believed that our God is a God of blessing. Amen. And so we must bless God because he has blessed us. And that's what our passage talks about in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every or all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We almost have to say, who are we? Who am I that God would bless me? Who are we that God would bless us so? But he has. Thank you, God. Amen. And so we bless God because he has blessed us. What are we doing? We're blessing God. What does it mean to bless God? How can we mere human beings bless God? Well, the word bless is used in a number of different ways in the scriptures. In our passage, the word is the word from which we get the word eulogy, or to eulogize. It means to speak well of. And one of the things that when someone passes away, you want to speak well of them. You don't want to lie. You don't want to flatter. But you want to speak well of, speak of the good that the Lord did in that person. And so in this case, we want to speak well of the good that God has done. We want to give him the glory for blessing us. And so we're talking about worship. We worship God. We bless God because he's blessed us. And worship, as the preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones said, worship is the heart going out in fervent praise to God. And so our hearts need to go out into praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then our brother John Calvin tells us that bless is used in four senses in the Bible. First, we bless God when we praise him. And so that's what's happening in this passage. We're praising God for his blessing. Second, God blesses us when he crowns us and crowns our work with success and joy and prosperity. And so we're talking about all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that are ours in Christ. Then he also says, men bless each other by prayer. One of the best ways you can bless those around you is just by praying for them. Because then you're asking God to do for them. Amen. And God can do far more for you than I can. Amen? But he uses means, that's true. But we need to ask that God would do a work. Amen? And then he mentions that priests in the Old Testament bless by prayer, and then they pledge God's divine blessing. And so the priest blesses in light of God's blessing. And we see that here in Ephesians 1:3, in light of God's blessing, in a sense, we have Paul blessing us. And so he says, God has blessed us. Really, God has blessed you and me. That means us. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then he takes that up in his prayer later on in this chapter. And we see that in verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you for your love for all the saints, and do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. He says, for this reason, and that reason is referring back to or based on all of those blessings. So those blessings, God has blessed us, and because of that, we pray according to those blessings, that they'll what? Be fulfilled in us. Amen. So we bless God, and we speak well of God. And what that requires is repentance, because sometimes we're too intent on speaking well of ourselves and what we've done. And we want to draw attention. You know, I did this. I hope you noticed. And wait a second. You don't need to notice what I did, but we do need to notice what God is doing. Amen. And that leads to the next point. Who do we bless? We bless God. We bless God. And so as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, we need to start with God. And so the apostle says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God of Jesus, because Jesus is man, and so God is his God. But it says, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus. So Jesus is the Son of God, and he is God, because God can't beget anything less than himself. And so God begat Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God and also God the Son. Amen. So we bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We start with God. We focus on God. We focus on speaking of his goodness and his blessing. I'm going to go again to Martin Lloyd-Jones again. We need to give up our morbid preoccupation with self. We spend so much of our time in feeling our spiritual pulses and talking about ourselves and our moods and our conditions, but we have but little understanding of the planning of what God has done. But the apostle generally starts with this, and so also does the Bible. We need to focus on God and speak well of God. Amen. And you know, Ephesians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:3, and 1 Peter 1:3 all start the same. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in all of these, our focus is on him, because he is the source of all blessing. And that's the message of the Bible. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And that's the message of the New Testament. Jesus' teaching begins with Beatitudes, right? In Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. All of those blessings. And you know, Revelation also deals with blessing. There are seven benedictions in Revelation. And two of them come in the last chapter. And it's blessing God because he blessed us. And then we receive a blessing as well. Now, why Why do we bless God? Why do we bless God? Why do we praise God? And you could almost preach a sermon on that. I would entitle it, Praise Has Its Reasons. Praise has its reasons. How many reasons are there for praising and worshiping and glorifying God and speaking well of Him? How many? Well, you can find the thousands of reasons in this book. And I started making a list and looked up how many times where the Bible says, praise the Lord because, or praise the Lord for. I praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This my soul knows full well. Where does that come from? Psalm 139. Amen. And then this passage, to stay focused on this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, or bless Him because He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We bless the Lord. And we say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of His benefits. You don't want to forget even one of them. Why? Because He's worthy. Because He deserves it. Because He's the Creator. Because He's the Sustainer. Because He's the Redeemer. Because He never forgets His covenant mercies. He's merciful. He's loving. He gives peace. He gives joy. He gives life. I could just keep going, but I'll leave some for you to find. I'll leave some for you to mine out of the scriptures. Those wonderful jewels of who God is and what He's done and why we should praise Him. Praise has its reasons. Amen. Now, Paul wants us to focus on all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And the New Testament in particular, more so than the Old Testament, wants us to focus above, focus on the eternal and not the temporal. And so Jesus points us in that direction when He says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, all these earthly things will be added to you. Don't go after those things. Don't go after the worldly or material riches. This is what the Gentiles earnestly seek after. Go after the heavenly riches. And if you make the heavenly your priority, then your God promises that He will provide your daily bread. Amen? And we see that in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be Thy name, priority one. Thy kingdom come, priority two. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, priority three. And then after that, give us this day our daily bread. So that's the fourth petition. And so the New Testament has us focused on the priority. Now, it doesn't mean that the New Testament is right and the Old Testament is wrong. It's just in the Old Testament, there was a focus on the material blessings of God's people, which were to point forward to the spiritual blessings that Jesus would bring, and to point us forward not to the earthly country, but the heavenly country and the heavenly city that far surpasses the earthly country or the earthly city. That city not made with human hands, by the hand of God. And so we are pilgrims, beloved. We're pilgrims passing through. And we're looking forward to all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, which we already have and where we are already seated. What do I mean that we're already seated in the heavenly places? Well, it's not because the pastor says it. It's because God says it. Ephesians 2:6. Or we can go back to 2:4. But God, there's another sermon that I need to leave for now. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His grace, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's all past tense. He's already done it. That's where we are, seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a blessing for us to be in Christ. And that's where we are. We're in Him. And so we're in the place of great blessing. I talked last week about the fact that this book, Ephesians, especially focuses on the glory of the church in Christ Jesus. The glory of the church in Christ Jesus. And the title last week was Glory in the Church. Why? Because the church, or the people of God, is the object of all God's blessing. Did you know that? That the church, that you, the people of God, and the rest of Christ's body, you are the object of all God's blessing. Isn't that awesome? That God would take such as me, such as you, and put us in a position of that great blessing. Do we deserve it? No. But we're getting what Jesus deserves. And He gave it to us by grace. We receive it by faith. He gives it by grace. And so we say, to the praise of His glorious grace, or to the praise of His gracious glory. There's kind of the cross between, or the interplay between grace and glory. Is it grace or is it glory? And the answer is yes. And God gives it to us because He wants us to enjoy Him and His grace and His glory. So we bless the Lord for His benefits. We bless Him for His blessing. And then, if that wasn't enough, then Paul starts to enumerate them. He starts to list them. And we don't have time to list them, but we will make time over the next few weeks and give God the praise, give God the glory, give Him the worship. What kinds of blessings has He lavished on us in Jesus Christ? Well, the first one is that He chose us. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him. What do I mean chose? Well, the word chose means to select out of. To select out of a group. So God has the group of all the people in the world. And he picked, if you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he picked you out of that group to be recipients of his blessing. Now, why in the world would God do such a thing? Why did he pick you? Why did he pick me? We don't know why. Or we do know why. Because of his grace. Because of his mercy. Because of his love. In Deuteronomy 7, it's not because that you were a greater people or a better people or more powerful people. The Lord fixed on his love on you because he loved you. And so there's a circular logic. He loved you because he loved you. It's because God wanted to show his good pleasure and his grace. And we see that in verse 5. It says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will, or according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleased God to do it. That's all. It pleased him to share his glory, to share his grace, to share his mercy. That's why. And this is the thing that makes the angels worship. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to men with whom he is well pleased, or to men who experience his good pleasure. Glory to God. Blessed. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him. He chose us out of the world. That's what a church is. The church is called out, ecclesia, called out of the world. And so I have to ask myself and ask you, are you that ecclesia? Are you living like you are called out of the world? Are you living differently than the world? Are you living according to love? Are you living according to the Ten Commandments? Because the Ten Commandments show us in particular what love is all about. Love towards God and love towards our neighbor as ourselves. And remember, as the evangelist, John the Evangelist, tells us, God is love personified. And so if we're going to reflect something of God's character, we need to be a people of love, a people of sacrifice, a people of generosity and charity, which is the King James for love. Charity begins at home. How are you loving the people in your own house? How are you loving the people under your roof? How am I loving my wife? Because we're empty nesters. So I need to work as hard as I can to love and cherish and bless my wife. That's what a husband does. That's what a Christian husband does. Amen? I hear an amen back there. Amen. So we are a people that are blessed and a people of blessing. We serve a God who is a God of blessing. And we're reading a book that is a book of blessing. I want to turn Now it's the last page in the book, and then we'll close. Revelation chapter 22. For some reason, I have too long a concordance in the back. Revelation 22, where it talks about the eternal blessing that we will experience in that new city in heaven. That's where we're headed. It's good to think about your destiny, where you're going to end up. And this is where the Bible says we're going to end up. Revelation 22, and he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's one throne. And it's the throne of God and the Lamb. And so the God and the Lamb, they're sitting on the same throne. Amen? Amen. In the middle of the street is where that water flows. And on either side of the river of there was the tree of life. So which side is that tree of life on? It's on both sides. Okay, try to get your mind around that. And that tree is bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, not just 1 month or 2 months, but 12 months. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, there are plants that have leaves that are good for healing. I hear that there's a compound in the skin of eggplant that has lots of antioxidant properties, and that can be used for destroying cancer cells. You ever heard of such a thing? But there are a lot of different leaves that even now are used for healing. But this special tree of life in heaven has leaves for the healing of the nations. And it says in verse 3, there shall no longer be any curse. There's no curse in the Bible until you get to Genesis chapter 3. And actually, Adam and Eve were not cursed. The ground was cursed, and the serpent was cursed, but Adam and Eve were never cursed. And I think there's a lesson there that the people of God are blessed, and they can't be cursed. Amen? Because we are in Christ. And nobody can curse Christ. Not going to stick. Why? Because he bore the curse voluntarily. What did he do? What did Jesus do on the cross? He bore our sins on the cross. He became a curse for us. Because the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And the way that we receive blessing is through him being cursed. Awesome. Awesome. And so my question is, are you experiencing the curse or the blessing? Have you trusted in the one who is the source of blessing? I urge you to do that today. Because if you don't, then you're on the path of cursing. And that pathway ends in hell. And as a student of the Bible, I want to tell you, you don't want to go there. But God has provided a way where you don't have to go there. He's provided the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the Lord Jesus. So if you go to Jesus, if you come to Jesus, then you're coming to the source of blessing. So in heaven, there will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his bondservants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. What an awesome thing it will be when we get to see Jesus' face. And the face of God. Because there'll no longer be any sin in us, and we'll be able to bear the beauty of His majesty and glory. And His name shall be on their foreheads. So we don't get 666 on our foreheads. That's the number of cursing. No, we get God's name on us. What an awesome thing. And then it says further in Revelation 22:14, it says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter the gates of the city." This is paradise restored. Remember, God put the angel with the flaming sword at paradise, lest they eat of the tree of life and continue in the state of sin. God barred people from paradise. But now, since our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, we are blessed and we have a right to the tree of life, and we enter the gates of the city of God in heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who wash the robes and have a right to the tree of life and enter the gates of the city. And then there's one last blessing. And this is at the end. It's actually a benediction. Revelation 22:21. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints. Amen. And so the book of blessing ends with a blessing, ends with a benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus. Where does this grace come from? Comes from the Lord Jesus. So if He's the source of blessing, who is He any less than God? No, can't be. Can't be. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to bless You because You have blessed us. We want to thank You, want to praise You because You are worthy. You created us so that we would receive and be objects of Your blessing. Oh, that we would believe what You say about this. Not what the world says, but what You say. Not what we can see with our eyes, because that would be walking by sight, but that we would believe what Your word says and walk by faith in what You say. And so, God, we want to praise You and thank You for being so gracious, so loving, so merciful, and blessing us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. What more can we say than bless Your holy name? In Jesus' name.